as I shared with you in the last couple of weeks, a man walked into my office by the name of Julius Badigo. He's a pastor here in town, and a relationship began to develop as he started to share more and more of what was happening in his home of Sudan. That meeting, I believe, was a divine meeting. I believe that God brought him into my life and ultimately into our lives as a church. This Wednesday, we'll be taking off around 1 o'clock in the afternoon from the Sioux Falls Airport. We'll be heading over to Sudan. We'll be staying and coming back on December 2nd. Some more information about that I wanted to share with you at the close of our service. But this morning, this service is a commissioning service. And our elders are going to be coming up at the close of the service to commission the team. As we go, you go with us. And it's us together that are doing this ministry in a part of the world that we have not had opportunity to touch. But I wanted to give you an opportunity to hear from my friend. He's a pastor here in town. He's the pastor of Falls Community Church that meets at the Lutheran Church on the south end of town there. Just a wonderful individual. So if you would, welcome my friend, Pastor Julius Badigo.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you very much, Pastor Doc, for giving me this chance. And I came to this church in 2007, I believe, so then I came with my small proposal that I need to go to Sudan, or if the church can help me, the project for agriculture. And then I disappear almost for 2 years, then I'm back again. Then he say, yeah, we're just looking for you. So where have you been? We lost your contact and all the same. Amen? But this is, you know, God's will. So as human beings, we don't know. But God knows why. Today we're here. And before I start, you know, there is a small, short story that I want to tell. For a white man first came to our area in 1920. And he found our people, you know, that time, you know, they don't go to church and they don't have any place even to worship. And then they began to, you know, sit together with them, and they asked them, let us pray. So we have to close our eyes. So our people that time, they don't know about praying and how to close their eyes. Then they started doing like this. But they are seeing the white man. So they have never seen a white man before. So they are afraid. Anyway, this is, you know, the first thing that will happen in 1920. In 1920, but today is a different time and day and years. But there is a white man today in our villages in South Sudan. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for the day, and we thank you for our life, and we thank you for each one that's come today this morning. May you bless us, and may you give us wisdom and understanding so that we can understand your word. I ask for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So our reading of the day is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, from verse 18 to 20. Matthew, chapter 28, from 18 to 20. And the theme is Great Commission. And I read, when Jesus came and he spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So, Jesus, he left, you know, his mission statement to his disciples that you have to go to all nations. Make disciples of all nations. But the good thing that he told them that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. That means we get the power. Jesus has already gave us the commission long time ago, 2,000 years ago. You have to go to all nations and preach and teach the people that they are different from your color, different zone. So you have to get out from your comfort zone, go and meet different people. Tell them about Jesus, who Jesus is or who Jesus was. It is very important. It is written in the Holy Scripture 2,000 years ago. And also, the disciple, the 11 disciples couldn't sleep. But they went, what Jesus has told them, they went and preached the word of God. That's why today we heard about Jesus Christ. And if they went and slept, that means there is no Bible. There is nothing. But they worked very hard. They went from village to village and from state to state to preach the good news, which is very fantastic. That's why today on Wednesday we will be going to Sudan. That means we're going out from Sioux Falls to go and meet different people that you have never seen before. Go and preach to them. Go and teach them. Go and hear their story. It is very important. Because Jesus wants us to be ambassadors in North America. He wants us to be ambassadors in Asia, in South America, anywhere to be there. It is very, very important. That's why we're going to start something from zero with the people in Southern Sudan, especially in Abukaya or in Berji. This is where my hometown is. This is the beginning. But in my town, we have never seen a white man before, but this is maybe will be the first time. It is history. Yeah, this is a history that it will last forever. I believe so. It is history, especially in my village. They have never seen a white man still with them, but this is the first time, which is very good. Amen? And also when we read in Acts of Apostles chapter 1, and we will understand that Apostle Paul and also Jesus make it very clear to his disciple that you should not be only limited in Jerusalem. After when you finish with the people in Jerusalem, so you have to go to all Judea. So after when you finish with the people of Judea, so you have to go to Samaria. And after when you finish with the people of Samaria, you have to go to the end of the earth. That means he don't want us to just to limit ourselves right here in Sioux Falls. No. We have to extend God's kingdom anywhere else. It is our duty as we are still alive and healthy. And even, I don't know, one day I will be here in the United States. But it's only God that knows why we're here. Today, I don't know how many refugees in Sioux Falls. I have never even known about or learned about snow. I came in the midst of the snow. It was very cold. My wife said, no, we cannot stay here. We have to go to Arizona. Yeah, this is something strange for us, because we have never had snow in our life, only a hot climate. But God wants us to be here. I was thinking, what about those who, in 1800, they settled here in South Dakota? At that time, there is no heat, there is nothing. How they survive? I don't know, but only God that knows. They want to stay here. But if it is, I cannot stay here. I have to leave, go anywhere else. Go to California, go to anywhere else. But I cannot stay, especially here in Dakota, because it's very, very cold. But God wants us to be here so that we can expand, so that you can know us more and more. That's why we're here. Maybe before people go to Africa for missionary, but today, many refugees, they are here in Sioux Falls, especially in Sioux Falls. Many more than 28 nationalities there in Sioux Falls, which is very good. Before, I believe there's nothing like this in Sioux Falls, but now Sioux Falls began to change, small, 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 small. Maybe God wants you to preach to them. They are right here now. There is no need for you to go to Africa, but you can preach to them here. Many of them, they don't know even about Jesus, but some of them know. It is good to meet them and hear their story. Listen to them. This is God wants us to listen to different story. As I said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it is very clear. It is our duty, it is our obligations as Christians to go further, to go and preach, so that we can expand God's house, make it more bigger and bigger. Because, you know, heaven is a multicultural center. You will find all races inside. It's not only one, but many races in heaven. God is love. He loves us. He loves me and He loves you. In John 3:16 says, "For God loved the world, that He gave His Son, the only one. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." It is very clear. That's why we have to go and preach. Tell to the people that they have never heard about the gospel before. It is our chance. Since we are still alive, tell them. They will believe even one or two. It is good. You bring somebody into the kingdom of God, and God will bless you in that. So, as we are going, God will be with us. I trust that He will be with us. And He prepared everything, and He knows why we are going to Sudan. He knows. Since when I came in 2007, at that time, I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, the time of God is different than the time of a human being. Why is it in 2010? After 3 years, why? It's only God that knows. With the hell curse. God has a purpose for us to walk together, so that we can make a great difference in this church and also to the people of Sudan. And God will bless you. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Julius. I think there's some truth to that only God understands what's going to take place. Only God understands the timing. I think back to 2007 when Pastor Julius first walked in my office. I think there was a season of seed planting there. A part of me that God had to do some work in to prepare the soil in my own heart for a ministry like this. When we go to Sudan, the goal is twofold. The first thing our hope is to do is to bring the light of Christ into the community. That's going to be done a few different ways. Just by our presence. For as the Spirit is in us, and as we go into that community, we are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. So it's our hope to show that through the way that we live, through the way that we interact, the way that we serve them. A few other ways that we're going to be doing that is through the showing of the Jesus film. We have available to us a projector and a DVD player and hopefully a generator to run all that. And we're going to put a sheet up as big as we can, and we're going to project the Jesus film in the Moru Mizza language. It is a very unique language. It's spoken by about between, I think, 7,000 to 9,000 people. A very small group of people. But the Jesus film has been working very hard to create this film and translate it in all the various languages throughout the world. And so this has just been completed. I think they did it for us. And we are going to be able to do that. We're also going to be bringing copies of the scriptures. We've been working for almost 4 months to try and find Bibles that were originally translated in the Moro Mizza language. We have found them. They're in Sudan, in a place in Juba, which is a place that we're going to be landing in. I have They don't really have addresses there. They just tell you other buildings that are nearby. So it's kind of like you just draw the lines between the buildings and that's the spot. So our first time there, we'll be hunting those down and bringing fresh copies of the scriptures, not only for the people there, but certainly for the churches and for the pastors to replace any worn out copies that they have, but to bring God's word to them in their native tongue, their language. We also will be having with us some small recording devices that have the message of the gospel recorded onto them. They're solar powered. They're very inexpensive. We have about a dozen that will be going with us, and we'll be able to leave them there, and pastors will be able to use those. People can just listen as it's spoken in, again, the Moro Mizza language, the gospel. We're excited to worship with them. We have two Sundays in which we will be worshiping with them. Not exactly sure what that's going to be like, but for the first, I guess as Pastor Julia says, first white man in the community, I'm excited to join them in that and to join them in worship and to teach them even our understanding of worshiping God as well as we join together in that. The second thing that we're going to be doing is we're going to be helping them in a very practical way. The practical need is food and what they call over there food security. And that's where you have security meal that you will have food available to you day after day after day. Right now, there's a lack of food security. When that next meal might come, whether the crops that are planted are going to produce enough, not only to feed, which is a big question, but whether there would be enough to yet plant again. And the system that we're going to be using is called Farming God's Way. It's a farm system that is, we will be teaching a farming system on a small scale so that small villages can do these farm plots and produce a tenfold crop from what they currently can grow. It will give them food security. It will give them seed for the next year. It will also provide seed for the market so they can go and they can sell and start bringing some revenue in. So we want to create this food security for them. The training is not just for this one village, but it's going to be for the entire area, the East Mundry and West Mundry counties. We've invited many different villages to come together to see this training. Again, it's a DVD training, so we were able to make use of that projector and whatnot from a man that's coming from Kenya. The man from Kenya is the expert in this training. We are not, but we have watched his DVDs. Darren Davis is the one that's responsible for our farming. He has watched them over and over. If Craig Sorley, the man from Kenya, doesn't show up, Darren's the man. So he has got to be ready. He's had us as a team also watch the videos, so we are really skilled and ready to go. But I will tell you this. If not one seed goes in the ground, we're going to have to trust that for some reason or some way was God's plan for this trip. We're going with a lot of agenda. We're going with a lot of ideas. We're going with a lot of hopes. But we need to realize that as we go into this community, that God may have something completely different in store for us than what we thought going into it. No matter what we come back with, no matter what our stories are, I will come back confident that we did identically exactly what God asked us to do. And what He knows right now, the trip will be. There are many unknowns. We're trying to just release those to God and let Him take care of some of those. We have planned much, but we also realize that He may have His own plans in the midst of that. I want to give you a little bit of a perspective of where we're going, just geographically, and I want to show you a few photos of the area so you can get a sense of this this area. Let me grab my slides here. Let's go to that first slide there, Tony. This is the world, in case you're not aware. If this is new to you, hold on, because the next slides get even more exciting. This is the United States. Where are we right about there somewhere? Seems right. We're going to be flying from here to Minneapolis, from Minneapolis to Amsterdam. I don't even know where that is. No. Where? It's right in there somewhere, right? It's right in here. I'll have that nailed down for second service. I'm going to look like a whiz. It takes about 8 hours to fly here, and then we'll be flying south into Sudan here, and actually we're going to be flying down into Kenya down here. This is another 8-hour trip, so it's almost identical. So whatever our flight is, got about an hour here, we've got 8 hours here, and we've got another 8 hours down here to Kenya. We're going to be staying night in Kenya before making our trip into Sudan itself. So the next day, we'll get up. We're going to spend some time with Craig Sorley, who lives there in Kenya, who's doing the farm training. And we'll be getting up, and we'll be heading into Sudan, which is this area right here. We're going to be going right about where that star is. Inside of Sudan, there are different states, just like there would be different states in any country. This particular one that I have highlighted there, this is the Western Equatoria state. And again, here's Kenya down here. So we're flying here into Juba, which is not in the Western Equatoria state. But we will then be traveling from there into here, which is where the tribe is. Let's blow this one up. So again, this is the Western Equatoria state. And it's going to be right in this area. You can see here's Juba here. This is an 82-mile dirt road filled with potholes, alligators, bears, chimpanzees, one-eyed monsters. Actually, we have no idea. But we have seen some video of people that have driven on it, and you can see nothing because the camera just goes like this the whole time. I understand that it can take many hours to get here unless you have a Sudanese driver, in which they drive 65 the whole way. Apparently the bumps are the same, slow or fast. So we do have Sudanese drivers, so we'll be heading here into this area. Now let's blow up this little area so you can see a little closer. This is very similar to what you've seen on this poster that has been out front for quite a while. Again, Juba was down this way. We'll be coming on this road, passing Jambo, and then here at Bujai. Bujai is also called Avokea, which you've heard us use that name many times before. This area has a school, has a primary school. Lanai is another city center. Lui is the first place that the missionaries that Pastor Julius was talking about went to. There's a cathedral there, and Dr. Frazier, who was the missionary that went there, he is buried there at the cathedral, and so we'll go see that as well. Mundri is a pretty big area. It's probably the biggest area. When we need supplies on shorthand, we'll probably head this direction. There are hospitals in these locations. Again, very, very different than a Sanford or a McKinnon, but still medical services of some kind. We'll be bringing some medicine with us, basic over-the-counter type of medicines, but this is the spot there that we'll be sleeping at. Now, from this spot where we're sleeping and where the school is, there is a road that we know very little about. From what I understand, the road was cut about a year to a year and a half ago. I have the name of the man who cut the road, but it was a single path, and now it is maybe a dual path with no trees in the middle, so a vehicle could make its way down. But it's definitely driving through the bush some 5 or 7 miles until we find this spot here, Kalalai. Kalalai is the spot where the farm plot will actually be built. This is the spot we will be doing the training. We'll do it inside the school. We're inviting people from all of these communities around to come and to see the training here. Once 2 days of video training and classroom training are done, we'll then be busing people out and shipping them out here to Kalalai, in which we will build the farm plot for them to actually see with their own hands how this is built. That third day, when we are done with this farm plot, we'll be bringing everyone back here, and this is where we'll be showing the Jesus film. And so it should be an exciting time. We're excited. Craig Sorley will be leaving after that third day with the projector on back to Kenya, so we need to show it that night. But I want to show you a few pictures of the area as well. These are living structures. This would be houses that they would have. It's just a thatch roof. They last about 3 years, so we expect some to be in disrepair and some may be being built. Maybe we'll be joining in on that. I'm not really sure. Let's go to the next slide. This is a little bit blurry, but this was a picture that was taken just a few weeks back in the area. And you can see these roots or these tree limbs that are up with a V on each one of them, and then a board they put across. Any idea what those might be? Benches, yeah. So, you know, you come under the shade of these big trees, mango trees or whatever kind of trees they might be. If they are mango trees, we've heard that there's a mango fly we need to be aware of. But apparently when it bites you, it bores into you and plants a worm. Mm-hmm. then it gets a little bit festered, and then, well, you can just draw your conclusion on what you do with it after that. So be careful of the mango flies. Let's go to the next picture. This here is the church. And again, it's a thatched roofed building. You can see there's little openings here for the heat to come out, but it's a mud-walled building with timbers that firm it up, and definitely looks like maybe needs a roofing job shortly. Let's go to the next slide. These are a picture a little bit better. This, again, is the church again that you can see with some men hanging around, and you can see a motorcycle there for transportation. And again, this is the church right there in Bujai, which is where we're going to be sleeping. Go to the next picture. This is the chief at Bujai, and Mr. Allison, and then Mr. Gibson, which is his administrative, the administrator there as well. So a couple pictures of some of the people that we're going to get to know. Go to the next one. This is the health clinic in Bujai. So you see it's a very small building. I don't know who this guy is, but maybe he's recently been there. I know nothing about it other than, you know, you can definitely see it's more of a modern building. Someone took some care, whether those are concrete walls, maybe, possibly. It could be a stucco of some kind, but it's a tin steel roof. So definitely a better building there for the small health clinic that they have. Now, this is the building that's very impressive. This is the school that's been built there. And they've done a very, very nice job in the school. It's the primary school in the area. The headmaster of the primary school is the one that has invited us to sleep in the school. So we have actually had to purchase beds from Juba. We've already done that. They've been shipped over on various vehicles, apparently made it in one place. They've been delivered there. And when we're done, we'll be donating the beds to the community there. But we'll be staying in one of these places within the school. Let's go to the next slide. These are a couple of verses that, for me, have been, maybe I'd say, focal points or key verses for me as we have looked at this trip. First of all, Isaiah 1:17 says, "Learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of the orphans, fight for the rights of widows." And this week, as I wrote the devotional, I did a little bit of work on each one of these, but I want you to see what we're called to do. We are to learn to do good, and that's part of what we do here, is we learn what it is that God wants us to do in our community and in our world. You need to think about your job, and what is it that God wants you to learn to do good there, or in your neighborhood, or with your friends, or within your family. Where is it that God is encouraging you to learn to do good? And when we learn to do good, we then have to take what we've learned and we have to seek to put it into action. We need to seek justice. Right now in southern Sudan, they are getting ready for their referendum vote. They've had since 2005 a sense of peace where the civil war has ended. But in January of 2011, just a couple months away, they will be voting on whether they are going to join with the North and be a united country or whether they will secede from the North and become their own country. There is a lot of unknown with all of this. We don't know if civil war will break out all over again, but there has been tremendous injustice done to the people of the South. Over 2 million people were killed as a result of the genocide and the war that took place. 4 million people left the area as refugees, as Pastor Julius communicated, are even here, right here in the Midwest. There are 3 spots for people in the U.S. to register to vote. Now, I want you to catch this. If you are a refugee who has come to the United States, in order to register to vote, you will either have to go to Phoenix, Arizona, Omaha, Nebraska, or Washington, D.C. And you have to go in person and register to vote. We have all these things, get out the vote and vote, vote, vote. We can register at the mall. We can register just about anywhere. Those refugees that are here have to make it to one of those 3 locations just to be able to be put on the ballot to vote, to be able to vote on this referendum that's taking place in Sudan. Voting is such a privilege that people have. I think here in the U.S. we miss that. When we only have, I don't know what the latest was, but I think, if we hit 35%, that's awesome. But we need to be a part of seeking justice and seeing those that have been treated unjustly and stepping into those. Then, as we do that, we need to help. We need to help those that are oppressed. That's part of what we're doing as we go to Sudan and as we understand the needs. We also have to defend the cause of the orphans, the children whose parents are no longer there. If you do a little bit of reading or understand the story of the Lost Boys, they are definitely the orphans that were separated from their parents, and it's our responsibility as the church to defend the cause of the orphans and fight for the right of widows, those that have lost their husbands. Even husbands, I guess, have lost their wives, but this is referring to women. Learn, seek help, defend, and fight. And this verse has been rattling around in my mind as I think about what's coming up. And of course, Matthew 5:16, which you'll see posted above the sanctuary as you are walking in. It says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, though everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. That our good deeds should shine out for others to be able to see. And so, as we go to Sudan, we covet your prayers. I want to thank you for all of you that took one of the prayer cards in the back. All of the specific date and time of day cards have been taken, but we put some more cards up that are just generic prayer times. If you have not prayed or committed to that, please take one of those magnets, write your name on the sheet that's below it to let us know that you'll be praying for us. We would greatly appreciate that. But at this point, I'm going to ask Pastor Brian to come up as he leads us in commissioning the team.
Let's invite those who are going to Sudan onto the stage, as well as members of our leadership council who are not going. I'd like to come up and commission the team and pray for them and their families as they go. Family members, too, if you're a family member of the team, please come as well.
Christopher and Musa, come on up. Two of our other Sudanese friends from Falls Community Church.
Elders, if you can lay hands on as many of the folks that are going as possible, that'd be great. And then, church, if you're comfortable with this, if you just extend your hands out, if you're not comfortable with that, you can simply pray in your pews as well. But let's lift this team up in prayer. God, it's a privilege to be here this morning and to send this amazing team, God, to do your will. God, first of all, we want to lift up the families that they are leaving behind. God, may you calm their fears. May you give them courage to face the days and the weeks to come as day-to-day life happens here while the team is gone. May you just be with the spouses, the children, the parents. God, that this team represents. And Father God, this team is ready. And they are going to Sudan, God, to be your servants. God, this team desperately wants to please you. God, both those who have done this before, and God, those who this is a first-time experience for them. God, they enter this trip looking to receive nothing in return. And God, they expect nothing from those that they will be serving. God, your Son taught us to love without condition. And we ask, God, that this team would show that kind of love. God, may they work by each other side by side. May they put away their differences, God, and seek to unity and to do your will. God, they are energized, and they cannot wait to begin. And yet, God, may you pace their schedule. May you help keep their energy up throughout the entire trip. May they keep their hearts and minds in the work set before them. May they know that they may be the only Jesus these folks will ever see. May they show them the true Christ, the Son of God. Help them to show your unconditional love for each of us. God, it's in your name we pray these things. Amen.
I'm going to ask the team to stay up here. Everyone else can sit down. We're going to take just a quick moment for a couple of other things here. This is Musa and Chris who are going to be joining us. And I want maybe the people just to hear from you. Let us know what kind of family you still have in Sudan. Who might be there? You don't have to go their actual name, but, you know, brothers, sisters, those kinds of things.
Oh, thank you. Doug, for this opportunity you gave me. In my native country, I have 5 siblings, and then including myself, but behind there, there are 4. So before my last sister died, she was the last born, we were 6, but unfortunately she just passed away last year, and we are left 5 siblings, and they are all in Juba. So I'm going to surprise them, you know, to visit. And it will be wonderful, the journey that God has given us this chance to deliver this wonderful service there. And I'm glad I'm part of it. Thank you, Doug.
Certainly. Chris.
All right, my name is Christopher Lomatayo. I would like to thank Pastor Doug and all the pastors in the church and church members for this opportunity to be able to go to Sudan and visit my family, but in the first place to go and do the mission work that we're going for. As followers of Christ, it's not about Falls Community Church, it's not about Hillcrest Church, it's not about us, but it's about the message of salvation, which is a beacon of hope for the hopeless. As far as my family is concerned, I have 2 sisters that are Americans here in the U.S. and a brother that is from California, but he flew back to Sudan. And in Sudan, I have a younger brother and my mom that lives there. So thank you very much. God bless you.
And for the other members of the team, maybe just quickly, I didn't give you a heads up on this, but just tell us one thing that you're looking forward to maybe God doing or something you're looking forward to of the trip. Sherry, you're thinking very deeply, so you're going to go first.
And maybe what your responsibility is to on the team.
My responsibility is going to be basically the photoing and videotaping and then blogging. And I am just, I don't really know. I just want to be Jesus to these people, and I just want to make a difference in some of the women's lives just to give them some hope and to show them Jesus.
Well, I've got lots of brothers and sisters in Christ over there, and ever since I was approached with the possibility of going, I fought it tooth and nail, and this is really out of my comfort zone, but I'm convinced that He wants me to do this. And I guess not only am I looking forward to seeing this part of the world and meeting these people, but I think it'll give me a much better insight into what my brothers and sisters from Sudan that live in Sioux Falls go through on a daily basis. I think you can see the heart of the 3 gentlemen that we have here and how they don't worship Christ any different than we do, maybe in a little different way, but their hearts are all the same. So I'm responsible for the team's health, medical well-being. I'm also responsible for helping with the farming and all that entails, and just generally trying to get us all through this safely. So I want to thank all of you for your support and your prayers, and I covet you continuing that as we're gone. Thank you.
Well, my name is Darren. Doug kind of told you what I'm responsible for going. Part of that is kind of what I'm looking excited to do. It's been a while since I've gotten my hands dirty in dirt, so it'll be fun once to do that again. But I think one of my coworkers at work, when I was talking about him, I think is one part I'm looking forward to, and that is, you know, we come here, as Julius said, we're going to be the first white people there. So it's flip-flop of what I'm used to here in Sioux Falls, where I am the majority. We will be the minority. People will be looking at us funny as we walk through the streets of Juba, and that will be something to get used to. But I think, like Darwin was saying, that's a good experience to know and reach out to those people in that way.
And then, Pastor Julius, tell us about your family that's there, and specifically your father and what he does.
My father, he is a pastor of Episcopal Church, that's in Khartoum, but now he is in Juba. And also I have two sisters, they're younger than me, and also I have a cousin brother that who grew with us, he's elder than me. And my uncles and cousins, we have them many.
Many.
And then I have my family here too. I have three beautiful daughters, and that's it.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Dina, and I'm going to, as a nurse on the team, Darwin's taking care of the really big picture and all the horrible things that could happen, and I've kind of got all the other stuff like sunburn, insect bites, and so forth covered. I'm just known as the kind of the person who has all the questions that probably don't need answers, but I'm going to ask them anyway. And that's kind of my role as a team. I'm the cautious one. So hopefully just my role, I guess, is just to bring Christ to these people just like everyone else and to learn what Christ has for me as well. I'm excited to see where this will lead.
I'm Ben, and I was able to arrange most of our travel stuff, all the flights and all the visas that are needed to get to the different countries, etc. I recently got delegated the job of handing out the cash, so I'll be called Dollar Loan Center.
Here's your money. Get cash now.
No. you have to pay for everything with cash, so I hope we don't get mugged. I'll offer them all kinds of trinkets first.
How about this?
No, anyway. So, yeah, that's been my role, and I'm very much looking forward to the possibility of helping them put together something that will make their life easier. I just have in my mind that I want to be able to help them do that, whatever that looks like. If there's things that can be built or fixed or put together, I hope to dive into those things. And so I'll be having my eyes open and hoping for things like that. I plan to shoot things and other stuff too.
Yeah, there's a potential that we may do some hunting. We're really not sure. But Ben actually purchased and is bringing with him a blow dart gun. Yes, he is. We're going to watch for that. And I was planning on flip-flops the whole time because it could be hot. But Mama Dina has shut that down, and she says closed-toed shoes. So be praying for my hot, stuffy, cramped feet for 2 weeks. Thank you. She'll be protected. Thank you. Well, we hope that you got a little bit of a flavor of what's happening. We are going. We thank you that you are sending. If you have any questions for us as a team, we're going to kind of hang back here if you want to visit with any of us. But God bless you. Thank you for praying for us and committing to that. And certainly be praying for us as we take off Wednesday, 1 o'clock from the Sioux Falls Airport. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. You are dismissed.